All right, so let's warm up here. And the book of Colossians 1:19. Okay, we talked about knowledge. So I like the word knowledge there in the book of Colossians, because we'll be coming up to that again, okay, as we go through Peter. Okay, we talked about that last week. But again, knowledge is important. Okay, knowledge is important for our frame, for the purpose of expressing his fullness. Where it says in verse 19, chapter 1, verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him shall all fullness dwell. And we're talking about the fullness, we're talking about a completion and a perfectness. Completion and perfectness. Because we're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In other words, God assigned him to be a point of contact or propitiation for a perfect reflection of himself, so that we can be received back to the bosom of the Father with increase. Okay, with increase, from innocence to innocence, from purity to purity. Okay, and from the bosom of the Father, we came into this dimension for the purpose of this increase, to be returned back to the Father for the expansion of his house, the expansion of his kingdom. Okay, so in Colossians chapter 1, okay, we talked about knowledge. Jesus also spoke about the greater works. We're just touching that for a second. Okay, greater works than these should he do. Okay, he is expressing two things, which has to do with the present challenges, okay, to that which is the internal inheritance. The present challenges in regarding the powers of the flesh and the spirit, concerning the equality, okay, which Christ will put within it. That's what his name is. Jesus has to do with the name that was given to him when he was born in the flesh. And Christ has to do with that anointed one. Okay, the anointing which would bond us to himself, okay, and bringing this equality, okay, though we are in the form of frailty, which, of course, God assigned for us at this present time in his great wisdom, that the challenges which we face in this dimension, being in the infirmities of the flesh, works for us a far and exceeding weight of glory, as the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, so we talked about some of those things, knowledge here last week, okay, and we touched on a few things regarding that which is the Father's heart, the bosom of the Father. Why all these things were necessary in the mind of God before the world was created, to put us in such a vulnerable position for this testing, okay, but not without promise, which our Father promised us before the world began. All these things he promised us when we were beholding the glory of our Lord in the Father's bosom before we departed to this dimension for the testing. Okay, all these things, which of course is written in the volume of the book. We talk about the volume of the book, we're talking about Christ. He is the Word. The volume of the book has to do with the Word of God. Okay, and Jesus, the express image of his glory. Now, being the express image of his glory, this is what he's imprinting within our own heart and mind, that we reflect him perfectly. So we see that we are responsible to abound in all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, as he brings out, the Apostle Paul brings out in Colossians chapter 1. Of course, we're going to get to chapter 3, then we'll be leaping over to 1 Peter. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to pick up where we left off and on verse 12. As the Apostle Paul brings to our attention that which we're putting on. We're putting on one thing and putting off another. See, for the purpose of putting on, there has to be a removal of the other, a dimness of another for the brightness of the new. The dimness of the old for the brightness of the new. Okay, the things of this world go dim as the things of Christ grow brighter. Again, that there may be equality. For the purpose of this transition, the Lord had to engraft within us grace and peace. Okay, the enlightenment in order to conform to this process by faith and the peace of God to assist us in this transition. If it wasn't for the peace of God, this transition would be incredibly unachievable because of the struggle of the conscience. If the conscience wasn't purged, see, the vessel would fall into the state of madness. Okay, but because the conscience is purged, okay, by the same working concerning truth, grace and truth, but that same working, the soul now becomes that very the very house of God, the temple. Because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And coming within the chambers of our heart, it removes one and replaces it with something of increase, something better. It's like clearing the land of stones and wood in order to plant it, to replant it. Okay, we're replanting the the field for the increase. We labor for the increase. And we're laboring for the increase, which is our rest, because there is a rest to the people of God, as the scriptures declare. We believe, according to this report, to enter into the present rest, ceasing from the aspiration, with the aspiration which works with the tokens of this world, and the moral code and law of Moses, to that which we enter to the rest now of our hope in Jesus Christ, that which is ever increasing. So what he's planting within us is for the purpose of this increase. We came into this dimension with empty vessels, and we relieved this dimension only with Christ, our vessels full of faith, to which also we are rewarded. We are rewarded according to the labor, every man according as his labor is. So if you sow little, you reap little. If you sow much, you reap much. The more you sow, the more you grow. So that God will continually attend upon this this process with the nourishment of this knowledge in wisdom, knowledge and spiritual understanding. Okay, the understanding, again, has to do with that which is setting order to this experience, that which the anointing provides for us. Without the spiritual understanding, it's very difficult to set order for experience in the kingdom of God. The experiences of the kingdom of God far exceed that which is of the nature of man, because the nature of man is tethered to carnal and perishable things. Okay, but the things of God, of course, are tethered to those things which are eternal. So in chapter 3 of Colossians, in verse 12, the Apostle Paul brings up, put on therefore as the elect of God. Now the word put off there, is in verse 9. We're putting off that which speaks to the signature of man. And that's why he says, lie not one to another. The signature of man is that which works with the moral code. That's a false charity. A false charity of that which is expression of self. It's an expression of self or exhibiting deep and sincere passion, but of course apart from the grace of God. It's untethered from the Godhead. When we express him in our faith, it's because we're tethered to the Godhead, so we're putting on Christ. So that which is of the world is untethered from the Godhead and bears the curse. But that which tethered to the Godhead bears that which is of his blessedness. The blessedness of Abraham now is provided for the Gentiles that believe on this record, that we are, that being joined to Christ, we're called the children of Abraham, simply because Abraham was one that worked with the higher knowledge. He looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The higher knowledge has to do with that which is above. They seek those things who are above. Of course, this is what Paul brings out in verse 1 of this chapter. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things who are above where Christ sits. And that is, where is he sitting? On the right hand of God. This is a throne of fire, and the fire of his fire and his mercy, which is beyond that, which is the second veil. We are being prepared to pass through the second veil. Fire can pass through fire. Without the anointing within us, there is no access to the throne. Those which are awaiting their bodies do not have access to the throne as of yet. That's why the saints in heaven are waiting with great expectation and enthusiasm for their bodies. They do have the robes of righteousness. God has given them robes. We see this in Revelation 6. But they're awaiting their bodies. So they have to wait until their brethren also will be gathered together with them. And that takes place at the rapture. Taking place at the rapture, we meet those which passed on before us. For the dead shall rise first, and then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, how can we ever be with the Lord if we can't be within his throne? He's made that provision for us through the baptism of his fire. As John the Baptist also made known, I indeed baptized with water. This is to show the transition from Moses to Christ. But he that comes after me is mightier than I. He should baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This baptism we have received for the process and also to progress beyond that which is of the present altar, from the altar to the throne. To get to the throne, we have to pass through the courts of that temple, because the throne is also in the temple of the Lord. And we see this in Revelation chapter 22 and 21. Whereas there was no temple in the holy city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And there's no need of the sun and the moon, because Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. So now you can understand the value of the priesthood. We are born kings called priests, which is kind of interesting. Born kings called priests. By the engrafting of the Spirit, okay, we have been purchased for the purpose of being seated on His throne on the conditions that we overcome. Now, overcome has to do with maintaining the equity of His work. That means we're following the responsibility of this covenant. We're keeping the terms of this covenant. We're following these terms or these commandments, as Jesus said to His apostles. If you love Me, keep My commandments. The Apostle John brings it out also in his epistles. If you love Me, keep My commandments. Okay, the commandments help us to identify the responsibilities, which yoke has been put upon the church in order to maintain this equity, okay, that which is the flesh, which maintains Jesus' name, and that which is the Spirit, which maintains the name of Christ. Okay, Jesus was a name so given to Him for the purpose of birthing sons. Okay, but that which is of Christ had to do with that record which we would believe on, which was joined us to Himself, a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. A priesthood was granted to us for the purpose of this bonding, to which those which resist us, being the children of wrath, will behold the sign of God's wrath in the time of our deliverance and of His great mercy. That's at the rapture. The time of deliverance and the kind of His great mercy when we're removed from this dimension to be ever with the Lord in His bosom. Those which resisted will have the witness against them as the sun turns to black as sackcloth and a moon is dripping blood. It would be a very horrible experience to those that are left behind to face the reality that they denied the stewardship and they were absent of the true priesthood. Even though the mother of harlots has her own priesthood, but it's absent of the true and anointed stewardship. Okay, that's why the color of blue is still absent from the mother of harlots. Okay, though she has that which is of also fine linen, okay, fine linen and purple and scarlet, yet it was absent of the blue. So she had a priesthood absent of the stewardship. And being absent of the stewardship, it wasn't completed in Christ's fullness. So they were subject to earthly things, which also the Apostle John enumerates there in the book of Revelation. How the mother of harlots, her token as being all earthly had to do with earthly things. Okay, earthly things. And of course, he makes a whole list of those things. Okay, the bondage of the soul. So all the things of the mother of harlots was the bondage of the soul, whereas all things of Christ has to do with the freedom and liberty of the sons of God. So we're setting our affection on things above, not on things in the earth. As our father Abraham. Our father Abraham did not expect to have a kingdom which represent himself and his name in this dimension, but rather that which be a representation of God in the next dimension. That's why I look for a city who has foundations, whose builder maker is God. He understood the stewardship because we see the foundations of the holy city, okay, is made up of that of the stewardship of the apostles. Okay, the 12 foundations as that of the apostles. So we see the stewardship, okay, within that foundation. Okay, and what was on that foundation? What was built on that? The temple. That's the number 10. Okay, the temple of the priesthood, which is the light of God, the knowledge of Christ, is that light which we have received. So we see that the light of God, okay, is building and expanding upon that was the oversight of the stewardship, that which Christ ordained. So we're putting on Christ, okay, by the tokens of this new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, which has to do with knowledge, which is framing understanding. Okay, our understanding is being framed in His truth. Okay, without truth, there's no foundation for this expression of our charity. The Spirit will not enter into this knowledge if there's no foundation for it. The Spirit enters into the knowledge when the foundation is present. That's why we have the foundation series. Okay, for those which come into covenant, it's important for them to understand, okay, what they are building with and why this knowledge is necessary for that construction, why the stewardship is necessary, okay, for the purpose of this preservation. Okay, so Christ has put within this dimension the altar, the temple, and the throne. Okay, if the altar and the temple and the throne is manifested when you're a Christian walk, then that's also what your destiny is. Okay, what you reflect is your destiny. Okay, those that bear the testimony of darkness, their destiny is outer darkness and places of torment. Okay, those whose soul is full of light, which of course has to do with the altar, the temple, and the throne, that's what our destiny is. We're being prepared. So we came into this dimension naked. for the purpose of this testing, to be received back to our Father with increase. And this is, of course, Jesus brought out that same thing. Whereas I have reaped where I have not strawed. The labor in this dimension has to do with this provision. The labor in this dimension is to provision, is this fruit bearing, okay, to be received back to the Father for the rewarding of the overcomer's rewards. And of course, you can read about that in the book of Revelation, okay, chapters 2 and 3, He that overcomes. We see this, He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Okay, so we see the fellowship and the relationship, the bonding, the separation, and the bonding again. We see the same thing in the testimony of Israel. Okay, the bonding, the separation, and the bonding again. Okay, but that which was the weakness of the flesh had no power in that respect until Christ would come to bring a power so that even though we're in the flesh and being tested in the flesh, okay, yet though we're in the flesh and being tested in the flesh, we have the rewards of the eternal things in our flesh, which is kind of interesting. Okay, so Jesus Christ provided for us a token covenant in his own record. Okay, when you say a token covenant or his record, we're not talking about is concerning selecting a particular verse out of the Bible to represent our faith. Jesus Christ represents our faith, the whole record. The whole record, as Peter brings out, beginning from his baptism unto his ascension, must one be a witness. We receive that witness, that we have accepted that testimony, which the apostle, chief elder Peter, announced on that day, the day just before Pentecost. Must one be a witness with us? And that that testimony we have accepted, and that witness has also been confirmed in us, speaking in tongues. Okay? And further on, we're putting on Christ. Now we can see that the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul is helping the saints to understand their responsibility. He didn't say the word "you already put on." He says "you must put on." Okay, he's not talking about something of an automatic, incident as a one-time act. He's talking about something that's a progressive relationship and also a progressive responsibility for that fellowship. That's why we're fellow laborers. Okay, we're fellow workers, we're fellow saints, because we're putting on the same vestments of the priesthood, that which is after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, that which is after the order of Melchizedek bore no resemblance to that which is of Aaron, because Melchizedek came to this dimension from the other side of the flood, as Christ came in this dimension, okay, from the other side of the flood. We also will return to this dimension from the other side of the flood for the purpose of establishing the millennial reign of Christ. So put on, therefore, as elect of God. Okay, you might want to highlight the word elect there. Okay, elect of God, because those which consented, they the consenters. What's interesting about that history, okay, we have consented to embrace the knowledge, embracing the knowledge greater than the reward. Okay, embracing the knowledge greater than the reward. The protesters embrace the reward greater than the knowledge. They embrace the reward. In other words, they wanted the inheritance apart from responsibility. Okay, but the knowledge bears responsibility. Okay, the knowledge bears responsibility to the one which spoke that knowledge to us in the Father's heart, in the bosom of the Father. So as we are in the divine light, okay, receiving the seed of the seal in our conscience to be awakened again by the anointing, the grace of God. To be awakened again, okay, to be joined back to him with increase. Now we see a parable put within Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Okay, when Adam and Eve were in the divine light, okay, there was no separation of knowledge. Okay, they were all partaking of that knowledge and that light. See this, the word light there. They were clothed in the light until the transgression. When the transgression went forth because of the aspiration. Okay, outside of that which God sanctified, the light within them diminished to where the flesh would rule. Okay, but now the reverse takes place, to whereas the flesh is subdued because of the light. And then we're bonding with him through this source of new knowledge. Okay, whereas this new knowledge is confirmed by the Spirit, okay, binding us to him. Okay, so let's look at verse 12 again, Colossians 3:12. So put on therefore as the elect of God, as the stars of heaven, if you want to put it that way, the elect of God, holy and beloved, the holy because the virtues born, the virtues which are born by contact, We're elect because of the virtues born by contact, so we're holy. We're beloved because of this adoption. Okay, the adoption has to do with the seal of the Spirit being the praise of His glory, the praise of the glory of His grace. Okay, by the seal of His adoption, He's provided us all these tokens which are necessary as we seek those things which are above. So that the manifestation, which the Apostle Paul also brings out, we love Him. Okay, we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with our mind, with all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Okay, according to the terms, okay, which has to do with faith, hope, and charity. Okay, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, and we'll be talking about that in a moment, verse 14. So put on therefore his elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Okay, when he says the bowels of mercies, he's talking about that now which is born within the soul. Okay, born within the very soul, being the depths of the soul, for the purpose of this bonding, which he also brings out in verse 14. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. And we talk about bowels of mercies. This has to do with the free expression of his charity. Okay, and also kindness. Now when he says bowels of mercies, is the very opposite of that which is anger and wrath, the bowels of anger and wrath. And this is what he brings out also in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, which is to that which is the flesh. Okay, so we're mortifying one thing, but that which is the power of God is being renewed day by day. So mercies and kindness, humbleness of mind, okay, which is very opposite, not malice out of strife or envy. Not humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Okay, not envy or variance. Okay, not that which is out of emulation. Meekness and long-suffering. A consistency, okay, that's born through the expression of your charity. A consistency that's born by the expression of this charity. It works as the virtue of our Father in heaven, meekness and long-suffering. Our Father is long-suffering with us, seeing that we are in this dimension of waters. He's long-suffering. I mean, He's enduring the contradiction of this time frame for the purpose of the goal which He set before the world was created. He set a goal before the world was created, and now He's watching it unfold for His fulfillment. It's like reruns. The book has already been written. Right now, we're on the last few chaptures. And of course, a lot of times we want to start from the very end and go from the very beginning. Okay, but our Father has concluded that I'll reveal a few things to you concerning the last chapter. Okay, but in regarding this process of it, I want you to take it day by day. Okay, if I show you everything, how did this come to this conclusion? Then you say the surprise loses its punch at the very end. Okay, how that can come about that way? It's like a mystery movie. How does detective come really to this conclusion? Okay, and of course, through the process of the chapters, okay, as we go from one chapter to another chapter, we see that certain hints are given to the audience, and at the very end, like on Perot, okay, like the detective movie, or Miss Marple, that detective movie, or Columbo, that detective movie there. It's kind of interesting at the very end, the conclusions that they come. Okay, Miss Marple has the silent observation. Okay, and then at the very end, she begins to, address each circumstance. This happened because this person did this, and this happened because that person did that. Okay, and then she comes to the conclusion, and then she goes around the room, and of course then the guilty party or individual or parties, okay, are identified. Same thing on Columbo. See, in Columbo, okay, we see at the very beginning how the crime is committed and how he's put within the challenges of trying to resolve these things. It's like reading the last page of the book, but you want to see how do they come to that conclusion? What was it that gave away, hey, the guilty party? Hey, what was it that was that Columbo saw that we didn't see? Okay, or Miss Marple saw or heard that we didn't see or hear? So the mystery books, which are very similar to the mysteries of Christ, bear a certain resemblance of that. Okay, our Father gives us glimpses, but at the very end, everything will be fully realized and known. But He's giving us hints and glimpses as we see and hear certain things. This is what the anointing does now. He shall show you things to come. Okay, the anointing is allowing us to see glimpses of this conclusion, but not have the totality of this, as our Father will openly disclose all these things as we know Him, even as we are known. Okay, and then we carry on that same tradition. But even the angels are kept, okay, in restrictions concerning even the seven seals. Now we see that in Revelation, okay, concerning the seven seals. Who is worthy to open the seven seals and to release these things? Who is worthy to open them? Well, only Christ is worthy, because he's the one that that represents the completion of this plan. Okay, so even the mighty angels and the eight great princes and all the Yahwehs, okay, the Yahwehs and the watchers, the holy watchers, that attend upon his interests there in the courts of the seventh heaven, are restricted even as we are. Okay, in other words, we can smell what's being cooked in the kitchen, but we're not really eating it yet. Okay, and so the Spirit of the Lord allows us these glimpses as the anointing continues to bear these things out to us in dreams and in visions, in words of knowledge. We're partaking of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now, the Apostle Paul experienced these things. That's the blessedness of Abraham. And we're experiencing these things, the blessedness of Abraham. Okay, so we're experiencing the light nature of God and our Father, even as those of the early church experienced the very virtues of God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the divine tethering and genealogy of those which are in covenant. Okay, so therefore, meekness and long-suffering. Meekness and long-suffering is necessary for the endurance of this process. The challenges, just like Israel coming out of Egypt by Moses. Okay, when the stewardship was necessary for the birth of the priesthood. Okay, without Moses, the priesthood would not have been birthed. And without Christ, the priesthood would not have been birthed. Okay, so that which is the flesh was necessary for the purpose of identifying that which is the spiritual, which would come. Which should be superior. The spirit is superior to the flesh. Okay, as the number 10 is larger than the number 7, but 10 and 7 is necessary for experiencing his perfectness, his completion, and his fullness. Your cycles of growth are completed through your cooperation with this knowledge, okay, by which you are saved. So we're forbearing one another. We're forbearing one another in love, and we're forgiving one another. Forbearing one another, which means through this expression of charity, we also restrain the work of iniquity through the study of this knowledge. Okay, we restrict iniquity. That's why it's necessary. And regarding your daily devotions of praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, okay, offering your sacrifices of charity. Okay, as you're praying in the spirit, okay, you're continually pouring over this knowledge. You're drawing from the very roots of these things, from the roots to the very crown. Okay, the process of these cycles continues. This is the glorification of the Lord. That which the false religious system desires to look into and to experience, they deny it by denying the stewardship and the priesthood. Okay, they desire that these token rewards of his grace, but at the same time, they're trying to pursue them out of the logic of their own aspiration, which they'll never achieve it. They'll transgress against God and receive his wrath. That's why Peter calls them as cursed children or children of wrath. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Okay, this is a new process of our charity. It's dulling the edge of the principle. Dulling the edge of the principle, we use truth now. Okay, not our truth, but his truth. So we're dulling the edge of the principle. We're dulling that edge, okay, as we continue to express charity. So we're dying daily. We're putting off, putting on, putting off, putting on. Okay, so the expressions of our charity are having full cycle. The full cycle is the evident work of that regeneration. Little children, young men, and fathers. As Chief Elder John brings out in his epistle, I write unto you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. He's establishing the very principle of desponding. All offenses of the transgression and your ignorance has been forgiven only because you are now accepted a responsibility to endure the changes of the challenges. The changes of the challenges face all those which are in the vessels of flesh. We all face them. And then the Apostle John goes on, and writing to you, fathers, because knowing him best from the beginning, as he continued to taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Okay, the process of your perceptions change as the Lord is engrafting his word in your mind and in your heart. Okay, this is the process of your adoption, that he is calling us his children by the process of the adoption of the engrafting. By the adoption of this engrafting, okay, he is providing a You see, himself as that provision for that we received back to himself, equal to himself. So as in the case of Adam and Eve, getting back to that, in the case of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, being in that one light, they were of one mind, okay, having no dissension between themselves. But though Eve was separated from Adam, Eve was also returned to Adam, as also we return to Christ. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because the Apostle Paul is going to talk about the same thing when he gets up here. He talks about wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. He's going back to this process, back to the process of the garden. How Eve was endowed with twice the power of Adam, but yet Adam had the responsibility, the stewardship. It has to oversee the work of the relationship, the fellowship. Okay, so let's go back up into verse 13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Okay, you see the process of this equality. In other words, Christ doesn't control us by the lie of his own principle. Okay, and we don't control each other by the lie of the principle. Okay, but rather we assist one another through the truth of this charity. So by assisting one another through the truth of this charity, the forgiveness is present and the release from the offense. Nothing destroys a relationship more quickly than offense. Okay, but the offense will always be present because of the ignorance on the part of each gender. Okay, the ignorance on the part of each gender, okay, the offense without doubt will manifest itself. Okay, because each gender bears a different power. And because of this, God is providing us now a remedy for that offense, which has to do with the work of the Spirit. Now, the work of the Spirit puts us now into a bonding of light that didn't exist before. In the presence of darkness, the offense would prevail. But in the bonding of light, the offense would now begin to diminish as the vessels of each gender take on the knowledge, okay, not only of Christ, but also the experience of one another. Even as we experience Christ, the offense which we bore in our darkness is now diminished because we have put on Christ. By putting on Christ, we begin to understand our responsibility to him. So therefore, understanding our responsibility to him, okay, he also, as the Holy Ghost brings out, also works or bears our infirmities. We know not what we pray for as we ought, as the scriptures bear out. Okay, in other words, our approach to him isn't for the purpose of trying to establish the foundation of our own ignorance. Okay, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself bears intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, that which cannot be articulated within the logic of man is expressed by the unctions of the Holy Ghost through your sacrifices of charity and your praying in tongues. Okay, so forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against, see the word quarrel right there. Okay, against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Okay, and above all these things, now this is the key right here, above all these things, which is these virtues which are necessary as the stars of heaven, and above all these things as the stars of heaven, though we're as the sand of the sea, our place value as the sand of the sea will increase as the stars of heaven. This is what God was bringing out to our father Abraham, that those which are proceed from him shall be many kings. Kings shall be born of your loins. That which is of the waters, okay, we see as the sand, but that which is the fires is that which is we see as the stars of heaven, innumerable. Okay, the increasing of them cannot be numbered because the increasing of them is perpetual. Okay, that's the baptism of light. The increasing of God's work within us is perpetual. In other words, the restriction on it would have been lifted, and as the floods of the seas. Okay, there's no boundaries put on us. Right now, the floods of this dimension, okay, have restrictions. Though the waves cast themselves upon the shore, okay, yet God gave them a command, they should not go any further than that, unless he releases them to do that. And we know that because Jesus, when he was in the boat, he rebuked the winds and the waters settled. Even as the winds and the sea were obedient to him. Okay, that means they were obeying that which the Spirit, which is superior to that which is of the letter. The roughness of the waves and of the wind was according to the letter. That means which God assigned to them to fulfill in their season. Okay, as we see today. Okay, the things which have been assigned to the angels, okay, that which has to do with the angels of the weather, like material, and rahayo, okay, which has to do with the wind and the rain, and asalegeol, which also, which has to do with the snow and the hail, is all assigned by the letter. Until the Spirit of the Lord speaks, when the Spirit of the Lord speaks, then that which is the letter must submit to that which is the Spirit. So the boundaries which are the restrictions placed upon the powers of this dimension, okay, will be released within our own heart at that time appointed of our Father. But right now we are under governors. Angels are assisting us with this knowledge and teaching us our responsibility for those things which are yet to be unfolding within us, okay, in the Father's bosom. Above all these things, verse 14, put on charity. So highlight the word above all these things as the stars of heaven, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Highlight the word bond there. Okay, there is a connection for increase. So we see when he says the bond of perfectness, as we know that through each cycle of growth, the equity of God in his peace accompanies us through these growth cycles, little children, young men, and fathers. Okay, so he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because known him thus from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, little young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And then the Apostle John goes on, he says, concerning overcoming the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. See, that is not of the Father, because of the flesh, and it's less than the light. But it's of the world, and it's of those things which are perishable. Okay, because death restricts, okay, everything that's been put within this dimension. Only the word of the Lord can bring it beyond those present restrictions, which Jesus showed to us when he rose from the dead. He conquered death and hell. He rose from the dead. Okay, the word of the Lord superseded that which is common to man. Okay, that which is of the world, when it dies, it has to go through the due process of decay and returning to its source of beginning, dust to dust. But Jesus showed us, okay, even though that which is the flesh has a governor upon it, okay, which restricts it, okay, because of the presence of time and the presence of death, okay, yet I'm the Lord, okay, I'm going to bridge that. Okay, I'm going to bridge that. Now we see that also in the book of Psalms and regarding the bridging of the signature. Okay, the bridging of the signature has to do with that. The appointed time of your life down here can be bridged. Okay, we see that in the Old Testament with Hezekiah, who God granted him 10 years longer than that which was first approved for him or his existence within this dimension. Okay, God bridged the signature. And bridging the signature shows the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, and he also does the same thing within us. The signature which we're presently bound to fulfill only can be abridged by the anointing in his power. That which is temporary is dying, but that which is eternal is excelling. So he goes on, above all these things, put on charity, because charity is the distributing power of all these other virtues, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay, the law cannot birth these things within us. Okay, but the Spirit births these things within us. Okay, the law is restricted to the ignorance of the flesh, but the Spirit bonds us to the throne of God and restores to us to the point of innocence. Okay, so he restores to us the innocence, the purity with increase of knowledge. Now, we had purity and innocence in our Father's heart, but we didn't have yet the fruit of that knowledge yet. So our Father had to create the dimension for the purpose of this proving, for the challenges of the consenters, so that even though we are put within the vessel of weakness and restriction, okay, yet we will bear eternal things and be returned back to our Father with increase, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So the word perfectness right there has to do with that which is the completion of his fullness. Faith is made perfect through your charity. Charity is made perfect because of Christ. Everything which proceeded from him. We love him because he first loved us. Everything proceeded from the Father's bosom to return back to him again. The light that Adam lost would be turned back to him again. Everything which God has initiated in his bosom will return back to him. As we see these things in stages, which has to do with the parables of this increase. Okay, as Abraham said, you shall go to my family's house, and you shall choose a wife there for Isaac, my son.
but you shall not return my son there again. Okay, so we see that in fulfillment and regarding the church. So though we're in this dimension, and we're partaking of the things of this dimension, yet the things of this dimension are not for the purpose of our eternal returning. We were put in this dimension for the purpose of returning to our Father with increase. And we'll be talking more about that when we get to Peter here. Okay, perfectness. Let the peace of God, in verse 15, rule in your hearts. That means by adopting this token. Okay, because in the refuge's fortress, okay, our soul is now being settled. This is the rest of God. We got peace and rest here. The peace of God accompanies us through the transition as we labor to enter into that rest. Okay, we labor with grace. Okay, we labor by faith with this grace. As we labor with it, we are also keeping in mind a responsibility to the government, the truth, and the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts and the callings and the graces of God. Okay, so we can see in the beginning of his letters, he talks about grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Grace and peace be multiplied. Okay, grace and peace be multiplied, which has to do with there is a continual flowing out from the throne of God as the living waters. Okay, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, as your perspective, not the corruptible things, to the which also you're called. The call which has to do with the holy city, New Jerusalem, our eternal home for the increase. To the which also you're called in one body. Highlight one body. Okay, the false religious system doesn't understand the purpose of the body. Okay, they look at the body as their individual ministry. We look at the body as concerning the house of God. We are all in one house. Okay, but those which refuse to come into the house also deny the stewardship. Okay, by accepting the stewardship, you're also accepting responsibilities to enter this house or this body. Okay, and you also call them one body and be you thankful, which has to do with the reciprocation. We show the loyalty by the gifts. We show our loyalty to him by these gifts, by which we stand in admiration in the offering of him and to him. So by this peace, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It has to do with the sacrifices of our lips. So we adopt this token for his fullness. That the word of Christ will in you richly in all wisdom. Again, wisdom is directing us regarding this fellowship, our fellowship with one another and with him. So we're loving God with all of our heart, with our heart of faith, with our soul, which has the will to serve, with all of our mind, which is the study of doctrine, our strength, which is the proper sacrifices. And loving our neighbor as ourself, as an equal exchange of charity. Okay, equal exchange of charity. The commandments which were given to Israel had to do with the same thing, the equal exchange for the harvest. The children of Israel would sustain the priesthood. At the same time, the priesthood would sustain the culture of the people, or their faith. Okay, the culture of Israel was to be the faith of Abraham, not their particular individualities, okay, but the culture of God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, richly has to do with increase. The increasing value of these treasures. Now, when the Lord sets forth a gift, and when he visits you, as deep sleep has fallen upon you, and he visits you, he also visits you with a gift. If he sees that there's faith within your heart, in other words, that you have been proficient within the stewardship of your priesthood, he rewards you with a gift, by which he's sowing within you, within the state of your conscience, this gift, and this gift now becomes, you become aware of it. Okay, you become aware of it as you pray in the Spirit. You become aware that something is present there. Some things come forth immediately and manifest themselves immediately, and some things are manifested over seasons of time. Okay, as an answer to prayer. Okay, sometimes immediately, sometimes over process of time. Okay, or a word of knowledge. Okay, or a divine dream. Or a vision, or experiencing another manifestation, of heat or electricity, or showers of blessings. Okay, these are gifts which he's provided, and the angel of the Lord, which is working with you, is responsible to nurse these things, as the Apostle Paul brings out. In Hebrews 1:7-14, is concerning, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? They're ministering to us as heirs of salvation, these gifts, the gifts of his propitiation. Okay, so the peace of God rules. the perspective. His perspective rules because we embrace his perspective. Not the tidings of the world, but the tidings of Christ. That's why the Lord initiates a form of communication, okay, when he says, fear not. Okay, and remember he said that to the Apostle John, Chief Elder John there in Revelation. Fear not. He said the same thing. That's the same language he used with Joshua or with the other patriarchs. He said, fear not. Let the knowledge which I have now provided for you, let that be your perspective and let that be your confession. Okay, when that's your perspective and that's your confession, there's also your reflection. Okay, so you're reflecting, rehearsing, and reciprocating the knowledge which I provided for you, which defines what our faith is. Our faith is a reflection of that grace which he's provided for us. So the peace of God assists us in the transition, okay, as we continue to pursue this goal. Okay. Now let's go to Peter here. Yeah, I want to read a few things in Peter. Okay, there's actually a lot more I want to read in there. Okay, but as you get your sacrifices ready. Now we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we see the same language Chief Elder Peter brings out, as also the Apostle Paul wrote in his epistle. And he says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now we see that in verse 25, okay, of chapter 1. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now we talk about the word, we're talking about that seed which he's implanted within the state of our conscience. Okay, that the exposure which our soul had in the Father's bosom in that light, as he openly displayed, okay, as in the Kedusa, as he does the angels in the Kedusa, he openly displayed his divine plan. Then that divine plan was packaged within the seed, which is placed within the conscience, which is awakened by the anointing through the preaching of the gospel through his servants. Okay, so how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? So that's awakened. Okay, and the witness of God accompanies the knowledge, or the anointing works with the knowledge. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, as Peter said. Wherefore, seeing that we have received the word of this adoption, wherefore laying aside all malice. Now, we were just talking about that, weren't we? How could this be possible? Okay, well, you don't have to go to open your books of psychology in order to try to wrestle with the nuances of your own imagination, okay, in a state of the conscience. Instead, you turn to the priesthood. Okay, but he's going to bring these things out here, and he talks about the living stones and the priesthood in verse 5. First, he brings to attention the stone, okay, the living stone, that's the stewardship, okay, and the priesthood that's built within it. Okay, so we see the living stone and the priesthood. Remember, the foundation of the holy city is put upon the foundation of the apostles. The foundation is the apostles. The holy city is built on that. Okay, which is the stewardship. That is the foundation which Abraham looked to. The foundation of the stewardship is necessary for the priesthood to be sanctified, as Moses sanctified Aaron. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, he says these powers, okay, because these powers are servants of Satan to serve his throne. Okay, they serve the throne of the kingdom of darkness to find equity with a defiled conscience, and that's never going to happen. As soon as the sinner feels that they find their peace, another anomaly presents itself. Okay, God will not allow the peace of the world to remain in that state. So there's God has put a curse upon the world called change. Okay, and when it goes from change to change to change to change, the only thing that doesn't change is God. Okay, that's where our peace lies, in the heart of our Father. So before the foundation of the world, as an example, the soul before time in the bosom of our Father, it had no powers, but it was innocent, and also it was pure. Okay, now then it was put within its dimension called the earth to return back to Father again. Okay, that means the soul after time in his bosom, okay, now returned in his fullness with increase, but it still retains in the innocence, the purity, and the glory. The innocence, the purity, and the glory. Okay, the things which our Father revealed to us in the bosom are now being returned to him with increase of his fullness. That's why it was necessary for us to be to depart from that dimension into this dimension to be turned back to that dimension again, which Jesus of Nazareth revealed to us. Okay, he said himself, I'm going to return to my Father. Okay, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's called a mansion. This mansion is in the chambers, okay, of the light of the holy city, New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. He gives it the feminine gender for the purpose of showing that the womb of the holy city is going to increase with your presence. Hey, as newborn babes, now we're back in chapter 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, now having been adopted to the house of God, it is desirous and seal miracle of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay, that's the process. If so be you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. The word tasted again has to do with the same language Paul uses in Hebrews 6. Tasted the good word of God and the powers of will to come. The word tasted has to do with the ingredients as perfectly harmonized. It's mixed. It's mixed. The ingredients, as you put within a pie. Okay, if you have to mix the ingredients in order to provide its, the harmony of its taste, the desired effect. Okay, so the harmony of these ingredients within us, you see, as the five essential oils and anointing oil and the four essential ingredients put into the incense, which equals number 9. 5 and 4 is 9, which represents the fruit of the Spirit. For this fruit to experience its perfect harmonious bonding to the throne, has to be mixed in its proper portions. Okay, so you see the oil and the incense were necessary to accompany the sacrifices and the preparation consecration stages of your priesthood. So if so be you have tasted the Lord are gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Okay, living water, living stone. Okay, not that which is of Moses or Solomon, which was dead granite or dead marble. That which is of the first covenant was of marble. That which second covenant is that which is living. To whom coming as unto a living stone, which has to do with the appointment of stewardship. Now this appointment of stewardship was disallowed indeed of men. It disallowed, which means it had to do with that they want to retain their independence, or in other words, the shrine of their own ministry. But we are all vessels of one house. We are all vessels of one house. Those which work for the stewardship are the vessels of one house. But those which deny the stewardship maintain their independence of the wilderness. That's where the mother of harlots is at, the wilderness. Let's go on. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Okay, it's precious, which means it retains its great value. Okay, and that's why God says it's chosen of God. It retains a value, but increases. Okay, and very precious. Okay, you also, now I notice, he says, Jesus provided a pattern, okay, for this reflection in this dimension. Okay, Jesus provided a pattern. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Okay, I have kept them in thy name. I kept them in thy word. Okay, that my joy might be fulfilled in themselves. Okay, of course, I'm jumping around there in John 15. And regarding the joy, the name, okay, and also the word. Okay, the joy in the name of the word. Okay, it's maintained a consistency to the record which I provided for them. And then Jesus breathed on them to show that connection and a new birth. Okay, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, and Peter including himself, as living stones, a stewardship that's being born. Okay, everyone that comes in a covenant enters into a stewardship of their priesthood, so that through the stewardship of their priesthood, their charity will increase. They can attend to the altar, okay, as often as they wish. As you also as lively stones are built up, okay, this is the house now, okay, those that accept the stewardship are those which are building and bonding. Okay, we read that now in Colossians, remember, the bonds of perfectness. Now here we're talking about the building up. What? The bonds of perfectness are building a construction and harmonization. Okay, light in the light. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Now, this holy priesthood also offers up knowledge, and this knowledge is called spiritual sacrifices. So, hide the word priesthood and spiritual sacrifices. Now, these spiritual sacrifices are accepted only because of your acceptance of working with the stewardship and the priesthood. That means you're keeping the covenant. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He is our covenant. This is the judge of the gate of our conscience, not the gate of sorrow. Now, hell is the gate of sorrow. The gates of sorrow, okay, are there in the caverns of hell. Okay, whereas we also have the gates of joy. And this is what the psalmist writes about. Open unto me the gates and I will enter into them. Okay, the gates of the joy of the Lord. Okay, enter into them. Now, this is in reflection, okay, of what God inscribed in the construction of that first tabernacle and temple. The gates were open. Okay, and when the gates are open, those which are faith flow into her. Okay, you also as living stones, see, the charity is flowing into the city. The charity is flowing into the very bosom of our Father. You also as living stones are built up a holy priesthood. And there's an impregnation here taking place in the kingdom of God. A holy priesthood. There's the word holy again, okay, which we read about there in the book of Colossians. The word holy again has to do with that we separate ourselves from the world unto God through this priesthood. But the covenant helps us to identify responsibilities in keeping these commandments. Hey, a spiritual sacrifices, that's your charity, acceptable to God, being sanctified to God by Jesus Christ, our covenant. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. This is the prototype. The Zion is in heaven, the chief cornerstone in heaven. Hey, this is a senior steward, and being a senior steward, he's our prototype of reflection. Okay, he's a prototype of a reflection. We reflect him perfectly as the looking glasses of the women were melted down and put in place, made place and put within the altar. They are put within the altar. There was a perfect reflection of the gender, the male and the female, the masculine and the feminine. Okay, the witness and the record, the witness being the masculine and the record being the feminine. That's why Jesus says, my Father is greater than I, but my Father and I are one, which has to do with the bonding through this charity. Okay, that which is the flesh being the weaker is bonding to that which is the superior being that of the spirit. Okay, that's why Jesus bore the testimony in his name, Christ Jesus. Okay, that the spirit and the flesh will being sanctified will be equal in his peace being received back to our Father for the increase of his house and the womb of the holy city, New Jerusalem, forever and ever. Increasing beyond the present boundaries of this universe. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, now that you understand the responsibilities of this priesthood with a steward, it also is contained in Scripture. Behold, now look at the prototype. I lay in Zion in heaven a chief cornerstone, senior steward. Okay, chief's cornerstone. Elect and precious. There's the words elect again. Remember we read that in Colossians. Precious. It bears great value as treasures. And he that believes on him, I mean, the believer is now to carry this pattern of for faith in the stewardship in this person, in this prototype. This is your wisdom now. Okay, believes on him shall not be confounded. The word confounded, which means will not be under the darkness of derision. Okay, the darkness of derision is accompanies those which deny the stewardship. Absent the priesthood and defile the covenant. They defile the covenant. Okay, let's close here in one more verse. Okay, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, those which are in covenant. Now, Peter is writing to those which are under his stewardship. Those which believe under the stewardship. Okay, he's precious. Now you're understanding the value of these tokens. You're understanding the value of the sacrifice. You're understanding the value of the tokens of his propitiation. He is our advocate. He is the one that initiates and also distributes these gifts. Okay, and so therefore, as the scriptures bear out, he ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. These are the gifts of propitiation for our perfection from returning to the Father with his increase. We came in this world, when we entered this dimension, we came naked. Okay, but our soul, when we leave this world, become full of grace. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, that is the protester. We have to consent our protester. The stone, being that which is the branch, the man, the steward, which the builders, now see, they're building, but they're not building the one house. They're building the shrines of their own ministry. The builders, which disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. That's to begin his work. That his work begins in your heart as you apply yourself to your priesthood. That when you apply yourself to the priesthood, you're identifying yourself as a stone in the house of the Lord. When you're identified as stone in the house of the Lord, you are sealed. Your salvation is sealed. Okay, that you will be qualified to escape the wrath to come.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.